B-Pod Studios.
Big Green giveaway.
Yeah, it's time to give away maybe $1,000 to a lucky listener. I'm going to give you a keyword. When I give you that keyword, you enter the keyword on the Fanatic app or 97.5fanatic.com. You have to do that by 4:15 p.m. We're going to call you if you're randomly selected, and you'll win $1,000. Now, everyone that enters this contest will be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize at the end of this contest in February. Complete contest rules are available on our website, 97.5thefanatic.com. It's brought to you by TurnersvilleJeep.com, the fastest growing Jeep dealer. The keyword is excited. Yes, as in you're excited for this Eagle game on Sunday. Enter the keyword excited, E-X-C-I-T-E-D, on the Fanatic app or 97.5thefanatic.com. And you have to do that by 4:15 p.m. Good luck. Yes, it is Football Friday. And on Football Friday, we get really excited around here. Brian Westbrook joins us for an hour. He's brought to us by Landis Block. Get your jaw-dropping backyard paradise online at landisbc.com. He is the man, the legend, number 36. Brian Westbrook, how you feeling?
I'm feeling great, Mike. How are you feeling? It's Friday, of course. I hope you are feeling great as well.
I can't wait for the game. I hate these days where you have to waste them away and get to the game. And I'm curious, like, as an ex-player, like, what was this week of anticipation for a playoff game like?
You know, as a player, you just want to go out there and play again. I mean, you are so excited, especially if you go on the road and beat the Chicago Bears, the best defense in football. You just want to line up and do it again. You feel that momentum. You feel your team getting better. You're on a run right now. You just want to play again. You can't wait till Sunday. And as a fan, you kind of feel the same way. You know, as a fan of the team, my whole week has centered around getting to Sunday at 4:40 and sitting in front of the TV watching our football team compete and go out there and try to get a little revenge from what happened in week 11.
All right. So we've had all week to digest this now. Chew it up. And spit out some kind of semblance of a feel. What is your feel now as we are on Friday afternoon going into a Sunday 4:30 game?
Well, you know, Mike, I went back and I watched the Eagles game against the Saints. Then I went back and watched the Cowboys game against the Saints. And here's a couple things that I saw in the Cowboys game. Their cornerbacks, Byron Jones and Awuzie, they challenged every receiver, every single play at the line of scrimmage. And when they were going up for the catch. So, you know, that's the first thing we have to do defensively. We have to be willing to challenge those receivers from the Saints from the very beginning. Even before that, you know, let me back up a little bit more. The first thing we really need to do is make the Saints one-dimensional. The last game we played, they gave up 103 yards to Mark Ingram on the ground, 71 yards to Alvin Kamara. So combined, almost over 200 yards, you're talking about, of rushing there for the Saints. And then receiving, they gave up 150 to Smith and 90 yards to Thomas. So they basically had their way in the run game as well as the pass game. We have to make this team one-dimensional. Second thing, like I mentioned earlier, challenge the receivers at the line of scrimmage. That's something that Dallas did very good. The third thing that the Dallas Cowboys did very well is that they put the New Orleans Saints in third and long situations. When you're in third and long, of course, the quarterback has to hold the ball a little bit longer with the cornerbacks challenging the wide receivers. Now you allow that defensive line to be able to get to the quarterback, and that really put Drew Brees off of the spot. And he wasn't the same guy. Drew Brees just had a bad game, and that started from the very first play. He couldn't get the ball placed where he wanted to. And because of the pressure, you add in some of the pressure on the receivers from the cornerbacks, it was a totally bad game for that offense for New Orleans. Those are the things we have to do as far as the defensive side of the ball.
All right. I'm looking at like a couple of the stories here and what they did last week against the Bears. And what they did a lot was play dime. Six defensive backs back there. And I got a feel that they will employ the same strategy against Drew Brees and the Saints. And I hope that their front four gets there. But if it doesn't, you've got a flooded defensive secondary.
See, and again, I go back to that Dallas game, and they didn't play a lot of dime at all. That's because they have linebackers that can run and cover. And I think if we go out there and try to play dime, Sean Payton will be willing – to run Mark Ingram down our throat, especially if our defensive line is not getting is not tackling well. You know, there was parts of that game early on when we played the Saints. We weren't tackling very well. The very first play of the game, Mark Ingram off the edge, 25-plus yards. Sidney Jones didn't do a very good job of containing. And if we allow them to be two-dimensional, like I mentioned earlier, then we have no chance in this football game. And so, to me, I think it's a totally different defensive game plan. You can't go out there and just play dime because they don't have a problem with handing the ball to Ingram as well as Kamara all game long.
Yeah, I mean, that's a problem. But also, Kamara in a lot of pass routes. And they took Cohen out of the game last week by with that kind of strategy. So they're going to have to risk some of it, don't you think?
Different type of player. Alvin Kamara, I mean, he's a game changer. He's much better. And I like Tariq Cohen, but Alvin Kamara is much better than Tariq Cohen. And I'll put Mark Ingram is much better than Jordan Howard last week. So totally different offensive scheme. And I just think you have to employ something different. The other thing that I saw from Jim Schwartz in the game was that he tried a bunch of things. He tried a three-man rush. He tried to play man-to-man. He tried to double-team Mike Thomas. He tried to do a lot of different things. And I'm going to ask you one question, Mike. Do you know who number 39 is? Do you know who number 41 is for the Eagles? Of course. No, nobody knows who they are. That's my point. They were playing in that game. They were playing in that game. These guys not even on the team anymore. They were playing in game against the Saints. And so we're talking about giving up big yards. Mm-hmm. Now we're a much better football team. Sullivan has played well. Maddox has played much better. Rasul Douglas gave up a bunch of yards in that game. He's played better. This is a totally different defense. And, you know, when you have reserve players trying to play, especially against the Saints, and you're playing all these exotic, crazy defenses, basically now you have Malcolm Jenkins just trying to point and get guys lined up. They had no clue what they were doing in the secondary. I think in this game, we see a totally different defense from Jim Schwartz, different play from our players as well.
Okay. Now, there was one stat that I uncovered. I want to throw it by you to see how this plays into it. The Saints are one of the worst teams in the league against downfield passes. In fact, they were last in defending deep passes.
Right.
And the outside receivers do much of the damage. Now, the Eagles don't have the outside receiver burner, but they do have Aguilar, who they've thrown to a lot with those big chunk deep balls. Is that got to be part of the offensive game plan here?
Well, not only Nelson. I think you have to find a way to get the ball to Alshon down the field. He has to be a big part of this offense. He's just been too valuable these last couple games here, probably last month or so since Nick Foles has been the quarterback, to get away from him in the most pivotal game of the year, most important game of the year. You have to find and make Alshon a big part of this game. I think that's something that you can take advantage of down the field. Eli Apple, gives up yards. He commits a lot of personal, as far as pass interference, penalties, things like that. You can take advantage of this defense downfield. However, you have to be willing to do that. The first game, as I mentioned, Carson Wentz was not he just wasn't willing to take those shots down the field. And once they took away Zach Ertz, it was a different type of – it was a hard sledding game for us offensively. We have to do something totally different.
All right. Would you play Adams this week?
Josh Adams. I still think you have to keep this defense honest. It's a different type of defense than what we faced last week. Last week we had an aggressive defense. I don't know that Josh Adams would have been as effective. I think this is a defense that you can get some positive yards from Josh Adams. I think he ended that game with 53 yards or so last time they played. I think you're going to incorporate all three of your running backs, Smallwood, Adams, and a lot of Sproles, especially in third down situations. The key for our offense is simple. We have to stay out of third and longs. And that's almost every week you say that. But this week, most importantly, because you know that they're going to score some points. We have to stay out of third and long so that we're not forcing the ball downfield, because those two interceptions that Nick Foles threw last week in the first half, that changes the course of a game against this type of offensive team in their house.
All right, let's go to the phones. Brian Westbrook, and go with Dan in Doylestown first up. Dan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dan?
Mike, before I get started, I want to do a chant. Do you want to hear my piece first or later?
Do your chant now.
All right, here we go. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
That's pretty good. That's a one-man voice. Not bad.
That is a one-man voice. I appreciate that. All right, now what I want to say is yesterday you were talking about how we'd feel if we lost. Now, what I got to say is I think I would have been heartbroken if we lost to the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
I think we stacked up better on paper. I think the Saints are a better team on paper, but the thing is we've got the magic. We've got the magic behind us, and I think we're going to pull it out. But if we lose, I won't be as heartbroken. And I think you were saying that yesterday. We've achieved greater than the expectations, and I think we're good for next season.
So you will not be heartbroken.
I won't be heartbroken. If we play well, good play calls, no stupid penalties, and I think my clutch player this week, Avante Maddox.
Avante Maddox, well, he's got to be better than last week, that's for sure.
I think he's going to pick off one of the
three. Well, I hope so. Brian, regarding Avante Maddox, now, you know, obviously they had a coach in this week. The double move is death, right?
Yep.
So
yep.
Does that make him less aggressive now to the detriment?
You know, one thing that coaches should never do is coach and really out-coach what the player does well. You know, Avante Maddox should have had an interception last week, didn't get his feet in. But you never want to take that aggressive nature out of, especially cornerbacks. Now, you certainly want to be cautious and make sure that your safety has the mental capacity to think, maybe I want to make sure I cover my guy over the top. But I don't want to take that aggressive nature. This is what made him the player that has helped our secondary come back to life a little bit. And so I don't want to take that aggressive nature out of it. I want him to continue to go out there and be aggressive, go out there and try to make some plays. And hopefully he makes more plays than he gives up.
So you trust the player to figure it out?
Absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind.
All right, let's go D in North Jersey. D, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, D?
I want to say, Brian, Mr. Westbrook, I'm a huge fan of yours. I enjoyed watching you play football. Thank you for all the hours of great entertainment you gave me.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Mike,
yes, sir.
I live in North Jersey. I talked to you the other night.
Uh-huh.
The Sopranos.
Yep.
I live where I live, my house. If you come out my house and make a left, go 1 minute, you're at Globe Motors. If you come out and make a right.
Wait, that's a real motor?
Up the hill.
That's a real dealership?
Yeah, it's called Caldwell Mercedes now, but it actually was Globe Motors.
Okay. All right, I got you.
If you go up the hill, if you come out my house and make a right, you go two blocks and you're at Vesuvio.
Wow, you live in an Italian neighborhood, bro.
Listen, I was. It's actually not an Italian neighborhood.
It's not Italian, really?
No, it's not. I was watching Sopranos one time. I've watched every episode about five times, and I was watching in the episode where Metal runs out of Vesuvio and almost gets hit by the car.
Yeah,
I was watching. I was like, "Hey, that's up the street."
Well, look at
and
that.
It really is.
You know, the people that live up there, they say, you know, I've read a lot of stories about how they're so familiar with the area and how they used it. It's kind of freaky.
It is. They did a great job. Being a transplant up here from Philadelphia, I've only been here for 5 years. But they did an excellent job with using all of the different locations and everything because they're real, like Nutley is a real place.
Right. Yeah,
and
I know
they
people from Nutley.
Real well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the thing with Carmella and the priest, Father Antintor wasn't available when she talked to the African priest. He was out of town.
Oh, he was
and
out
the
of town.
Was filling in.
All right. I got you.
Right.
That's good knowledge by you, bro.
With the other priest, it was different parishes. So the priest with Paulie with.
That's right. St. Elzear's was a different parish.
Yes.
All right. You got me. You got me all straightened out, Dino. What do you want to say about the Eagles?
Listen, man, we're going to be okay on Sunday. I'm a big feeling person. I'm a guy that goes by my feeling. Last year, I own a barbershop in North Jersey. Last year, I stood in my shop before we took one snap, and I said, listen, the Eagles need to go after Alshon Jeffrey. Everybody told me I was nuts. We signed Alshon Jeffrey. I said, listen, the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl. This is before preseason ever started. They told me I was nuts. We went to the Super Bowl. When we lost Wentz, everyone said, it's over. I said, don't worry, we're still going to the Super Bowl. Come Sunday, the Eagles are going to show up and show out. This is going to be a dramatic win, like the Minnesota win last year that everyone had us counted out in.
Yep.
This is going to be the one that solidifies that we are the next dynasty in the NFL. Last year, during the regular season, we had an easy season. It was beautiful. We were home throughout the playoffs. This year is the opposite of that. We had a tough year. We barely made it in. We have to go on the road everywhere to make it to Atlanta. And guess what? Guys, we're going to do it.
All right, man. Well, listen, I'm glad you're gacked up. They're going to do it. I mean, he gave you a minute 50 on The Sopranos there before you even got to that.
He gave us a lot of The Sopranos.
Yeah, we met her was actually running across the street. That was when she was drunk and throwing bread, chunks of bread at Uncle June singing. Mm-hmm. All right, Tyrone. Are you a Sopranos man, Brian?
I like The Sopranos. Yeah. I'm trying to remember back to it. Uh-huh. You know, it's been a long time, but I did watch it all when it was on. Absolutely.
All right, let's go to Chris in Williamstown. Chris, you're on 97.5 tonight. Chris.
Mikey Miss, always a pleasure, pal. What's up, Chris? And to be great, Brian Westbrook. You know, I've spoken to you a couple times, Brian, but just like everybody else, I can't keep saying how much I loved what you did for this city for all those years. So thank you again, pal.
Thank you.
And you know what, Brian, I think, you know, your position is really what is going to be key for the Eagles offense come Sunday. You know, every week it seems like another running back steps up, or, you know, whether it's Wendell Smallwood or you know, Darren Sproles really showing off in the past few weeks. Like, I think that will be, you know, if they can get the run game going early and make that defense play a little bit more honest, I think that will open up some of the, you know, some of the looks that, you know, Nick Foles has been seeing this, the past couple weeks. And, yes, I think we actually could pull this off. But this will be a defensive game, Mike. We must find ways to get 5 to 10 blitzes on Drew Brees. Look, if they beat us, so be it. But we cannot give him 30 seconds in the pocket, which I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you understand where I'm going. You can't give him all day to throw the ball, because it gives more separation, more time for the receivers to get open, and we're screwed.
Well, this is a time where their front four is playing as active as they played all year. So that's got to continue.
Yeah, exactly. I need that front four to step up. And like I said, if you do that, you risk them beating you, but I think you still can win the game. Now, I want to touch a little basketball after that, so if you want to
come
out on that real quick.
Go ahead.
All right. You know what? I'm watching really heavy. I'm watching the network and all the big sports writers, because going to be a good game down there with Milwaukee tonight. They're missing Giannis and Eric Bledsoe, a couple of their guys. Good game to watch out for you bookie bettors out there. And Sixers, man, there was no reason after that win in Philadelphia they should have got blown out as bad as they did last night. That was an absolute embarrassment. And you rested your guy. Nobody played over 30 minutes the first game. All three of their guys, Joe, Ben, and Butler, played over 30 in the second game. That says something, Mike.
I have to agree with you. I mean, it was unacceptable. But that's what the type of team they are. They're kind of, you know, they're not as consistent as we would like them to be right now. I don't know. The bench would help out. They got 12 points off the bench that night. They lost to Washington.
Yeah, they got outscored 52-12 by the bench.
Come on, man.
52-12.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. You can't keep going on with this.
Well, that was a big problem in the playoffs as well. Their bench is just getting blown out. They're just not producing any points. And defensively, they were giving up buckets all over the place. But he made a good point, and I probably didn't explain this as well as I should have. I need my defensive line to play well, but it's more important than that. I need my cornerbacks up at the line of scrimmage, because our defensive line can play great, but Drew Brees is good enough to get the ball out of his hands quickly. And so if he's able to get to his first option on every single play, it doesn't matter how well our defensive line plays. To be honest with you, our defensive line had no impact at all in the football game, because Drew Brees had no pressure in the pocket, but he had no ability. He was freely throwing the ball to his first option. Every single time, we have to challenge these receivers at the line of scrimmage. That may be one of the most important things see this game.
Yeah, it's the key probably to the whole game. All right, before we get into break, Tyrone, I'm going to bring you in since it was brought up with the Sixers. The Sixers have a couple of must wins.
Yeah.
Next up. Like, they got the Hawks, they've got the Knicks, all right? You can't possibly lose to those guys. But now, in this 10-game streak, after Atlanta, New York, you've got the Timberwolves at home. You liking to win that game?
Yeah.
All right, it's three in a row. At Indiana.
I can't say that's a for sure win at all.
Oklahoma City at home.
I actually think they win that one.
Houston at home.
I actually think that's a loss.
San Antonio at home.
I think that's a loss.
Then, at Denver.
I actually think that's a win.
They beat Denver?
Okay. Yeah, mainly because Embiid votes Jokic. Yeah, I think Embiid's
at the Lakers.
Win.
At Golden State.
Loss.
All right, that's 10. So you've got them pretty successful through that run.
It's like 5-5.
I'm not as optimistic.
Okay.
These are good teams now. They're all going to have to play. This is where the bench has to come into play. And against good teams, they haven't been given enough. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, Brian. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk Eagle football right after this on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Let's get an update on our Twitter poll at 4:30. The Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. And Miss Natalie?
Over 1,400 votes so far, Mike. Will the Eagles win on Sunday? 76% say yes, 24% say no.
All right. Now, I'm riding all the superstitions. Last Friday, Brian, I wore the Doug Peterson visor. It's the Philly visor. Yeah, it's got the play underneath of the bill, right? Nice. The play, the Philly play. So they won. So I'm coming back with it this Friday. And right. Superstition plays, I think, a pretty significant role sometimes. And even you yourself, did you have superstitions for games?
I did. I would always tape myself the same way, take the same route to the stadium. Mm-hmm. It was a point where on Saturdays, I didn't receive text messages or anything. I cut everything off. I only wanted to focus on the game. That was kind of my superstition. Listen to the same music every single Sunday in order. So I wanted to hear the songs exactly in order. Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, a little bit. Any little advantage that you can get as a player, that's what you want to have, especially in big games like this.
Exactly. Now, I got a letter this week from a guy named Sean, and he's telling this story that involves you. His brother, Anthony, had passed away last June, and his favorite player was you. So this guy now, for like these kind of big games, is using your jersey as the good luck charm, and he puts it next to himself, and he kind of talks to his brother with your jersey right there. And it's a touching story, and it works for him, and whatever comfort it brings to him is fine. But you must get that so much, and I'm wondering what that feels like. Like nobody's coming up to me and saying, "Hey, I put a microphone next to me as I'm watching any Eagles game," right? But your number is ingrained. And your jersey's ingrained in the minds of Eagle fans. And you must hear about it all the time. And I'm curious to know how it makes you feel.
You know what? It makes me feel great because, again, I've said this on many different occasions. We have the best fans in football, not only because I played in Philadelphia, because I know it firsthand. And so the support throughout my career was tremendous. One of the weirdest things that I've always thought of is that I got a letter. An older lady passed away, and I was her favorite player. And so the only thing she wanted was to be buried in the casket with my jersey.
Oh, my.
And, you know, at first it's a little weird. Uh-huh. But listen, if you love the Eagles, you love Brian Westbrook, then okay. I'm okay with that. Be buried with me. I'm okay with that. I'm all right. Why not?
All right.
Still a little weird.
It's a little morbid. You're forever in the ground.
That's right,
with
man.
This lady.
I'm always going to be with her.
There you go. Beautiful. All right. We have one open line, 610-620-975. Mike and Voorhees, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brian Westbrook's on the line also.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
What's up, man?
Good. It's great to talk to you, Brian Westbrook. Guys, I just have to get one thing out of the way. I work 22 hours a day, 9 days a week.
Wow. We had a caller earlier, Brian. A guy said he never watched The Godfather because he worked 20 hours a day, 7 days a week.
What?
So Mike, I guess he doesn't know that you're going to end up as a retired investor living on a pension.
I guess he doesn't.
Yeah,
That's getting the Godfather 2. He's got to get past one first.
Oh, my God. He's got some living to do. But first thing with the Eagles, we can't underestimate the return of Timmy Jernigan. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a reason we went from like 16th against the rush in 2016 to first last year. It's going to be huge. If we can cut their rushing yards down to maybe 100 this game, I think we give ourselves a shot.
He's been really good. I mean, he's when you look at what clicked with this team, the obvious answer is Foles. But that defensive line has clicked, Brian. They found the energy late in the season that I didn't think veteran players would be able to find.
You know what? Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. And Timmy Jernigan returning is huge. But when you talk about the vets, I was trying to figure out how did they get this energy. To me, if you're a veteran player, you know that hopefully your team is getting to the playoffs. The most critical point of the season is November, December. They started playing better at that time. That's what vets normally do. They got their legs up underneath them early on in the season, played much better towards the end.
Yeah, I'd like to see a line of Fletcher Cox, Jernigan, Bennett, Long, and Brandon Graham. Get all five of them on there at some point on Sunday and see if we got to mix some things up. It's going to take a big effort, but it can be done.
Well, I hope it will. What is the weightlifting regimen? Does that change towards the end of the season?
Yeah.
For guys? It lightens a little bit?
It lightens up. Just because you don't have enough. I mean, you only have enough to go to practice and to play in the games. You know, your body is so beat up every single week. It's just hard to lift at that point because your body's so tired.
I was watching Todd Gurley. I don't know if you saw the latest episode of The Shop, the LeBron show that's on.
No.
Todd Gurley was on with Ice Cube was on, among other guy, Chris Bosh. But Gurley was saying that it wasn't the Monday that he felt the sorest, that the Tuesday is really when your body feels broken in half.
Yeah.
Was that the same with you?
Yeah, so this is what we used to do. And I don't think they're able to do this anymore. They used to give us a shot of Tortorol right before the game. And basically, it's an anti-inflammatory pain type of shot. And so you really wouldn't feel very much Sunday during the game, Monday at all. But then Tuesday, when that shot wears off, that's when you start feeling everything, your shoulder, your neck, your legs. And just like Gurley is saying, that Tuesday was rough. But you had to try to get through that pain just to be able to work on Wednesday.
How long does it take to get back? When do you feel normal, if you ever
Well, it changes. At the beginning of your career, you're a young man. Mm-hmm. You know, Wednesday you're good to go. Towards the end of my career, it was Thursday afternoon, and I was still feeling like, man, I don't know if I could even run and do anything at practice. That's how, you know, the aging process affects you as a player, of course.
Let's go Brad in Haddon Heights. Brad, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Brad?
Hey, Mike.
You're on, buddy. Go ahead.
I'm here, man. You hear me?
Yes, I got you.
All right. I wanted to talk about your branch.
Yes, the three branches of Mike.
Yes.
Yes.
I totally respect your branch, but I'm trying to grow a tree, Mike.
Yes. Well, branches are rooted with a heavy stump.
Absolutely.
You know, they just don't grow in midair.
I hear you. My tree philosophy is this, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
When we win the Super Bowl and we beat the Patriots again to break the tiebreaker, we need to bring back Foles for one more year. We need to put the kid on the bench for a little while. If something happens to Foles, we bring the kid in. If not, the next year, Mike, we put the headset on Nicky and he becomes the QB whisperer.
Huh? You see, what you're saying is not feasible because you're thinking that Nick Foles would play on just 1 year contract. Why would he?
Because he's that type of guy, Mike.
He's not that type of guy. I love the people that know Nick Foles. You live in his house. You live in his den. But look, practically speaking, he's got an agent, right? Why would the agent and why would the player risk playing on a one-year contract when he can just as easily turn down the contract extension that the Eagles put through?
Because he knows if he leaves, the love is going to leave with him.
Stop. Come on. You're pipe dreaming. You gotta look at this. This is a business, Brad. This isn't like schoolyard stuff.
So you can see your branch. You can dream that, but I can't dream the tree.
No, because you're assuming that Nick Foles is some idiot. He's gonna, yeah, sure. I just want to be part of the Eagles. I'll play on a 1 year deal, and when I get hurt, I've got no future. He's not gonna do that.
Absolutely.
How
not.
Do you know, Mike?
All right. Well, if you live on Mars,
it's
then maybe it'll happen on Mars.
People
are silly. Well, Nick just wants to be here. Your sister just wants to be here. He's not going to play in a one-year deal. The Eagles say, okay, we exercise the option. $20 million. He goes, oh, thank you very much. When he knows his worth on the open market is five times that? It's not going to happen, Brian. Tell these people.
Another,
it's a business.
Another payday for Nick Foles. I mean, I just see it
exactly.
happening.
Exactly. It's a, you know, you have to make the best deal for yourself.
That's right.
It's so, not to a point. It's about wearing the Eagle jersey. It's not like the be all end all.
Sam Bradford made more than $20 million this year with Arizona, and they cut him halfway through the year. So why would he settle for only 20 when Sam Bradford got more than 20 from Arizona?
Yeah.
Why would he do it?
Now, it's a cutthroat, hardcore business here. So this is what's going to happen. If they do exercise the option, Brian, you're his agent. What are you doing? Are you declining it and paying the $2 million to get out of the contract?
Of course.
You are, right?
If I'm getting a guarantee, absolutely.
All right, so in that case, their only option then is to franchise him. If they franchise him, he makes over $25 million, but they're franchising him only to trade him. Right. So when they trade him, he gets a multi-year deal from whoever they trade him to. That's the way it works.
At the end of the day, no matter what, he's out of here. I mean, you can't bring him back. I mean, that's the big thing.
Can't bring them both back. People are thinking that they can somehow bring them both back. That Carson Wentz would say, you know what? Go ahead, Nick. Make 16 more million than me, and I'll be the starter. It's not feasible.
You know, I think that thought process comes from Carson, you know, just being a good guy, and a lot of people thinking that. I don't know that Carson is. I mean, listen, he is a good guy. I'm not trying to say that he's not. I don't think that he feels that way about Nick Foles making that type of money in his position, in his city, with his team. I don't think that's.
Well, you were a good guy, right? You were local. You went to Villanova. It was a great story, right?
Still am a good guy,
right? But at the end of the day, it was about business for Brian Westbrook.
And
I remember the contract squabbles you got involved with.
Hey, sometimes you got to handle the business side of things before you get on the field. That's the way it goes.
Brian Westbrook from Villanova, he'll just want to be here and play for nothing. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Picture of the week music. Somehow we ran past that. We were all excited about the game. We ran past the picks.
I thought you were doing your own thing.
No, that's my bad. So here we go with the locks of the week presented by McCausland Lock Services. 50% off car keys and remotes online at 4carkeys.com. Now, you went 3-0 again last week, didn't you?
Yeah, 3-0 last week. 3-0. Another good week for old Westy.
Old Westy. All right, let's see what old Westy has this week.
I'm going to start easy, and it'll be nice and quick. I think the Dallas Cowboys, you know, the Rams are favored by 7 points. Dallas Cowboys are a good physical football team. They control the game with the ground. I think they actually win that football game in L.A. against the Rams. So I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys right there. That's a good pick. Then I'm going out to New England. The Los Angeles Chargers have been playing great football offensively and defensively. They can get after the quarterback just to pit. Somehow, New England is favored by 4. The Chargers win that game, too. How about that?
two dogs he goes with so
that's
far.
That's right. And lastly, here we are. The Colts are visiting Kansas City Chiefs, and I just can't go against Big Red. I just can't go against them. They're favored by 5.5. I think they beat them by more than that. I'm going Kansas City Chiefs all day long.
Who didn't know you were going Big Red? And you're taking Dallas and the Chargers. All right. First of all, your Dallas pick stinks. This is like the trend of the week that Dallas is somehow going to win that game. They're a 7-point underdog for a reason. They're going to get romped. I'm a big believer in the rested by teams. It's the only constant you have. I'll take the Rams. Underrated in this spot to win that game over Dallas. All right, now I'm going to go with
five more than seven. Are you out of
your
mind?
Yes, that line at seven is telling me double-digit win for the Rams.
Can't stop the run.
I'm going Kansas City here. I like the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, you're a big red.
Well, this Indianapolis Colts team is, you know, they're fashionable right now. Everybody thinks they're capable. And no, big red is really good coming off a bye. You know that, Brian. He's magic. So I'll take him to cover that 5.5. And then I like the Chargers, New England, but I'm a little less inclined to go outright. I think the Chargers will cover. I think with the 4, that New England may win this game by a field goal, but I'll take the Chargers in that game as well. So you're going with Kansas City, Dallas outright, Chargers outright.
That's right.
I'm going with Kansas City, Rams, no problem covering that. And the Chargers, I'll take them with the points. There
okay.
it is.
Okay.
Locks of the Week brought to you by Cause and Lock Services. 50% off car keys and remotes online at 4carkeys.com. Stymie in the Lehigh Valley. What's up, Stymie?
Hey, what's up? Happy New Year to everybody.
You too, buddy.
Yeah, thank you. I wanted to ask you a quick question. What's your opinion? Because I heard you talking about if the Phillies could get Bryce Harper. And I wanted to know, do you think if the Phillies would get Bryce Harper with having him, Odubel Herrera, and Andrew McCutchen, would that be the best outfield assembled in the past 40 to 50 years?
What? assembled? Like who? With the Phillies or with the, among all teams?
In the past 40 to 50 years.
In baseball?
In baseball, would you consider that one of the best?
Absolutely not.
No?
No. Andrew McCutchen's first of all, Andrew McCutchen's 32 years old. Odubel Herrera is a kook. Like, what? He had 250 last year. He's like, they can't straighten him out. Now Harper's a constant, yeah, but you're going a little too far with the best outfield.
I think that would be one of the best outfields assembled in the last 40 to 50 years.
I mean, I think that you've been hitting some cognac. That's what I think.
It is.
I would say no.
Yeah, come on, man.
Okay. Come on. I just wanted to know what your opinion
Come on,
is.
Stimester. Come on, brother. They're trying to trade Odubel.
And I don't know why. I really don't know why.
He plays the game like a knucklehead. What have you been watching?
No, that guy was tearing the league up last year.
And he lost 100 points on his average.
Oh, okay. I mean, baseball's like that sometimes.
No, the 100 points. The baseball's not like that. You lose 100 points in your average, you're going to have no clue. Let's go Dan in Jersey. Dan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dan.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Dan?
I called last week to talk about the Vegas lines on the degenerate game, but I told you I'd call back after the Eagles won.
Okay, there you go. The degenerate gambler. Well, are you betting this week, degenerate?
Where as much as you dislike it, and as much as I'm starting to dislike it because everyone and their mother's talking about it, but I'm going with Westbrook there with the Cowboys getting that 7.
You guys see this Cowboy thing. I don't understand it. I don't get this Cowboy thing.
Well, because their defense is tough enough. They could, you know, they hold on the ball. But the problem, the reason why I'm not liking it as much is because everyone's saying the same thing. The Rams let off 5 yards a carry, you know, yada, yada, yada. My thing is, it's just the same thing I said last week when we were playing, and I told you about the pressure situations, getting the players and then playing away from the norm, is I just don't think Goff's a gamer. Now, as much as I don't love Dak, like, he shows up. In these big games, he does show up, and for a defense that's playing that well, 7 points is a lot. So if you're the degenerate like me that can buy the half point up, at 7 points should stay cushioned.
Yeah, all right. I'm not buying the Cowboys. I'm sorry.
7 points is a big cushion, Mike.
The line hasn't moved. That line is huge. Mm-hmm. If Vegas thought Dallas had a chance to win that game, that line would not be 7.
Vegas has been wrong before.
They have been wrong. Mm-hmm. This Cowboy thing is fashionable now. All right. By the way, one of the best outfielders of all time, I was just looking it up, Roger Maris, Mickey Mantle, and Yogi Berra played in the outfield that year.
Wow. Star.
Had the 1995 Cleveland Indians. Albert Bell, Kenny Lofton, Manny Ramirez. Mm. Look at that, Tyrone. Pretty good?
Yes.
Is that a good one?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Let's see. San Francisco Giants had Willie McCovey, Willie Mays, and Felipe Alou in their outfield.
That's much better.
Pittsburgh Pirates in 90. Barry Bonds, Andy Van Slyke, Bobby Bonilla.
Fantastic.
Boston Red Sox, Jim Rice, Fred Lynn, Dwight Evans.
Fantastic. Yeah, these are all good.
Yeah, Stokes and Lansdowne, you're on 97.5 The Fan. Oh, we only got a minute, Stokes. So I'll tell you what, I'll put you on hold and we'll get you in the 5 o'clock hour. It's time to say our goodbyes to Brian Westbrook. Brian, you'll be geared in. What's the protocol for this game for you?
Yeah, you know, last week I went with a couple of friends to watch a game at a bar. I think I repeat that. I mean, superstition, again, you have to repeat
uh-huh.
what worked well for you. I go back to that same bar, sit in the same seat. We try to find a way to get us a win.
Suppose somebody's in that seat.
And then they're going to have to move. We have to ask politely.
Yo, man, I'm Brian Westbrook.
Yeah.
Move.
Yep. Sorry, buddy. You got to move.
All right, man.
I need this.
Listen, you have a great weekend. What's your pick?
Tough game for the Eagles. I have to go with the Birds. I have to. They're hot. Nick Foles is playing out of his mind.
Nice.
They find a way to do it.
All right. We'll talk to you Monday.
Take care.
All right. Yeah, let's say goodbye to the TV audience. Thanks for watching NBC Sports Philly. And Mike Missanelli Show continues on radio in the 5 o'clock hour after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.